There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, guess what? It's the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 249. This may be relevant to your interest. Doctor Who, the next series, is premiering this weekend, Saturday, September 1st, at 9, 8 central on BBC America. So what we decided to do on the Nerdist channel over at youtube.com/Nerdist is build a Doctor Who weekend. Hashtag see what I did there with the words. Do you see what I did there, Katie?
I did. That was clever.
Those were Who weekend.
I like it.
Because normally you would just say weekend.
Yeah. But then this is a Who weekend.
It's a Who weekend. Yeah, it actually sounds better when you say it for some reason.
Who weekend?
I think you're not pushing it as hard as I am, and that's why it sounds better when you say it.
I'm more casual with it.
Who weekend.
Just the Who weekend.
Yeah, that's nice. Well, that was a little too casual.
Okay. Who weekend.
All right, that was slightly more formal. Nice. So what we decided to do is Friday, August 31st, we're going to put up All-Star Celebrity Bowling Team Nerdist versus Team Doctor Who. The next season of All-Star Bowling actually won't premiere until October 15th, but we figured why not put it up this weekend. Then Saturday, a new show called Dork Fork, which is our sort of like nerdy cooking show. They're going to be making Doctor Who-themed treats with special guest Alton Brown. That's going to be awesome. And then right after the premiere of Doctor Who, at 10 p.m., we're going to put up on the Nerdist channel the Q&A that I just did with them in New York following the first episode, Asylum of the Daleks. So that'll be a hefty Q&A, sort of a talking Who, if you will. A little Doctor Who after show on the Nerdist channel. And then Sunday is Just Cause from Gallifrey 1, the Doctor Who convention here in Los Angeles. Join Chloe Dykstra and Matt Myra as they run through Gallifrey 1 and see awesome Doctor Who-themed cosplay. So that is all weekend, August 31st, September 1st, September 2nd, on the Nerdist channel at youtube.com/Nerdist. I would like to thank, for this particular episode of the Nerdist podcast, for sponsorship, stamps.com. It's more than just stamps, y'all. It's 24/7 solution for sending letters and packages. Did you enjoy my use of y'all in that context?
I did.
I'm Southern and it still sounds weird when I say y'all. Y'all. Yeah.
You don't have an accent at all.
You all. It's a contraction for you all.
Yeah.
But stamps.com, from any computer, you can get your account, you can buy and print official U.S. postage, and then it's like having the post office right at your desk. You never have to leave your house or whatever place you happen to be staying. It doesn't necessarily have to be your house, but wherever it is, you don't have to leave there. You print out your postage, and then the U.S. mail delivery carrier will come pick it up for you. So right now, there's a special offer. When you use the promo code Nerdist, go to stamps.com. There's a no-risk trial and $110 bonus offer, which includes a digital scale and up to $55 of free postage. So it just takes minutes to get started. So go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Nerdist. That is stamps.com and enter the promo code. What, Katie?
Nerdist.
Good call. Now this episode of the Nerdist Podcast, Steve Jones. It's Jonesy. You guys probably have enjoyed either the Sex Pistols or any of the million and a half bands that Steve Jones has played in. And also Jonesy's Jukebox, which I feel like revitalized radio, afternoon radio in Southern California. And now he's over at K-Rock, which is great. Because I used to work there, and I love those kids. So Steve Jones was a fucking awesome episode. A lot of stuff came out in this episode from Steve Jones, and he was endlessly wonderful and kind and fascinating to us. So I loved it, and I hope you enjoy it as much as it was fun for us to be there. So here it is, episode number 249 with Steve Jones. That was my best kind of piss off, fuck you, British accent, Katie.
Punk rock British accent.
A little bit, yeah. Because sometimes I like to be a little punk, y'all. Fuck off, y'all. No.
Not very punk.
Let's be honest. Australians are the Southern Brits.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, that's where that accent migrated, yeah. I think. If you don't agree and you're Australian, I apologize. Should I cut that out?
Yeah.
All right.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Yeah, it'll turn on, it'll start flashing your LED.
Oh, that's fucking...
I just sussed it out, it's amazing.
I'd rather have that, because then you can just...
Well, when you're in your car, if you have a Bluetooth and you plug it in, for some reason, the normal beeps you get for texting don't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you have the flashlight, you know you got a text.
I like that.
The flashlight works.
I'm always just staring at my phone anyway, waiting for something to happen. So yeah. It makes me happy that actually...
Your house is actually, like, set up. So there's just everything looks towards a phone.
What do you see out there, Steve?
Not much.
Jonesy.
There has been.
It's saying, well, we're in the...
Well, it's, ain't there a casting thing?
Well, the E-Building, it's the E-Building, so there's a lot of casting there.
Yeah, yeah.
We started recording, by the way.
Yeah.
Just now, right?
That's why I moved forward.
We see.
You can sense it. He knows now. You feel that there's something you can put down.
Mate. You've been in a radio station once in a while.
Across the street, actually.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Are you still, you're at K-Rock now, which is over on Venice. Yeah, Indy was in, like, nestled the one English-speaking station in a grouping of Latino stations.
Yeah, what was the company called? Something Vision?
Probably not Mexavision.
Univision.
It was not Univision. Was it Univision?
Well, Univision is the.
I know that's Univision.
Telemundo.
It's not Telemundo. It's
El Radio.
It's not El Radio.
It's not Radio.
And they just play the Wall of Voodoo song in the lobby over and over and over again. I want to show.
Welcome to Mexican Radio.
Eating barbecue. I can't remember the fucking name of it. It's
Intravision.
Intravision.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice.
Well, it's been nice having you, Steve.
I'm good at that.
The one
I have a great memory, but it takes like
a
couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Something has to go. I did an interview for the NME yesterday. They have this page. Because I'm doing all these interviews, I guess that's why I'm here, for the Sex Pistol box set. But one of the things, they have a page, what a rock star's memory is like. And I got 8 out of 10.
Wow.
I said, did anyone get 10 out of 10? He said, yes, some young dude. I'm like,
Moby.
That's because he's young. He shouldn't remember. He ain't done nothing, for one thing. And he remembers everything he's done. And the worst was a guy called Cliff Richard.
Cliff Richard, of course.
He says he was the worst. He got nothing right.
Cliff Richard, who... To my absolute delight, even though I didn't know who he was, they assault him on the young ones over and over again. They would make fun of Cliff Richard.
Yeah. Well, I used the song.
Right.
The theme song is a Cliff Richard song.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The young ones.
Isn't Cliff Richard the Elvis of the UK?
Of England, yeah.
Yeah.
So he was, so I guess, you know.
He gets ridiculed by everyone. he's uncool, but you know what? That was the biggest highlight for me, having him on Indy.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
He came down. I met him in Hugo's. You know Hugo's?
Yeah, of course.
And he came with a couple of friends from West Hollywood. And I said, it's Cliff Richards. And I went up to him. I said, I have a radio show. I'd love for you to be a guest. And I thought, he thought I was joking because everyone ridicules him.
Yeah.
You know, I said, I'm serious. I'm a big fan. I used to love listening to you when I was a kid, you know. And anyway, eventually, 6 months later, he came back to America. He was going via here to New York to do a showcase. This guy's like 70 on, and he's still trying to make it in America.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Incredible.
That's I mean, it's always interesting to hear who kind of breaks the American market and there's some people who are like, no, they're literally as big as you can be in England, but for some reason they haven't cracked America yet.
That's what I use Top Gear for. Whenever they have a star on a reasonably priced car, I look it up and I go, wow, good for him over there.
Yeah. I wonder why that is.
I don't know. There was a rock band in the early 70s called Status Quo, who I would have thought America would have lapped it up.
Nothing.
Weren't interested. But then you got like, Not Saxon. Who's the other guys? They have the big.
The Beatles? They made it pretty big
they,
here.
They have. But the Kings didn't.
That's true. Well, the
Zombies didn't.
They had a problem, though. They had some weird thing with the union over it. That's what happened with them.
Really?
Yeah, it was some weird thing.
The Zombies. I mean, I still listen to Odyssey and Oracle. Yeah. That fucking album is like every song. The Zombies. Every song
in
that album.
What's the singer's name?
I don't remember his name.
He had a solo career as well.
I don't remember what his name was.
About you.
Yeah.
That was Zombies, though, right?
Yeah. Yep. But that wasn't on Odyssey. Odyssey and Oracle was their preservation. Yeah.
That was, what was his name? Anyway, he went on and had a couple of hits himself, the singer.
I know it was not Rob Zombie.
No. But it's also interesting where, like, some bands in America can't really pop off, and then they go to England and make some noise, and then they start Hendrix.
Like Bush.
Bush?
Yeah.
Massive Fear. Couldn't get arrested in England.
Wow.
I feel like Bush is a band that England would have made fun of a little bit.
Well, that's why they didn't make it.
They made fun of them here.
not for a long time, because I worked at K-Rock. I was at K-Rock from 95 to 98, and Bush was huge at K-Rock when they first came out. Like, you know, Little Things and, you know, like all the... They were huge.
A bunch of huge hits.
Yeah, I know they had hits, but I remember always just reading articles where they were just like make fun of him for like, do you like Nirvana? Would you rather him be very good looking and sporty? Well, listen to Bush.
You know, you're talking about like music nerd publications probably, and right. this like you sure, know yeah. like but the general
the masses,
but like but
young birds like them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like pop alternative music, popular alternative music at that time. I mean, then alternative in quotation marks.
Too. Have you seen him? Looks like the day he was came out.
Nah,
was
right? not, nah.
No, you don't think so?
I mean, he pulls a few, but not like what he used to.
Yeah.
His head's gotten bigger.
He's been married for so long.
Observe his head. It's a lot bigger than
observe. I mean,
we should sneak
not
in
like
one night.
Egotistically.
If anything, his ego's probably smaller, like, because he's been dating or married to Gwen Stefani for so long.
But I like him.
Is he a nice guy?
I don't know.
Did Cliff Richard knew who he must have known who you were. He knew who you were, right?
He knew the Sex Pistols were, and he hated punk. Hated
of course he
it.
Did. Of course he did.
Did he ever do any kind of thing where he covered punk songs just for fun?
No. No, but he was famous for this one song called, it won the Eurovision Song Contest. It was a song called Congratulations. Congratulations and jubilations. I want to teach the world how. Bum, bum. It was like a real bullshit song. Anyway, it was famous. And when we got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, even though we didn't show up, he heard about it and left a message on my cell phone saying, congratulations.
Oh, my God. Did you play that?
I fucking lost it.
Oh!
It was classic.
I love that you're more excited about the message from Cliff Richard than being inducted in the Rock and Roll.
Yeah, it was, because he probably don't do that to a lot of people, you know? It was classic.
I mean, I'm always interested to hear about, you know, a group, your background in punk and the Sex Pistols and sort of like, you know, like the whole fuck the system kind of thing. But then all of a sudden you become the system because you've created this, you know, like you've contributed to this genre of music and you get inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Do you still feel... Like,
we didn't show up. Give us our credit. We didn't show up. We can't do nothing about being inducted.
Yeah. But do you really not care? You must care. You have to care a little bit.
It's nice to be acknowledged. I don't like the way they do it. I think it's bullshitty.
Yeah. I remember the joke you made.
It's a click. You know, it's a New York click.
The joke you made on your radio show and you found out you were getting inducted was that, like, it'd be funny if you guys showed up and then Malcolm McLaren would just run up and take the credit. And take the.
Well, I think a better way is to get a lookalike Sex Pistol band to go there.
That would be pretty good.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
That would have been a good move. Of course, everyone likes to be acknowledged.
Yeah.
Surely, you know. But, you know, when you're 19 and when you're 57 next month, you change, you know, hopefully.
Yeah.
You grow up and you leave it to the next bunch of knuckleheads who are 19. You know, that's the way it goes.
For some reason, I remember verbatim. The Rock Against Drug ads you did,
yeah, rad.
For when on MTV, it was and probably aired going right into the Young Ones. Actually, on MTV, it was the same time period, and I remember
87.
My name is Steve Jones. I used to play guitar in a group called the Sex Pistols. A good friend of mine, Sid Vicious, died from drugs. I nearly died from drugs. drugs suck.
You know what? You could do it again. Did you watch it on YouTube recently?
I did not watch it on YouTube recently.
Remember it.
I remember it. For some reason, you went on the motorcycle.
Yeah.
My name's Steve Jones. I used to play guitar in a group called the Sex Pistols. You know, like I can hear it. Yeah, like almost like it was yesterday.
Yeah, I had long hair, and we did that. We shot that down at the gas station on 7th Street in Santa Monica. You know where it goes down to Channel?
Yeah, of course.
There used to be an old classic.
That old-timey gas station right there. Yeah, I know exactly where that is.
And from that, I went to the guy who shot that. We went a couple of days later to Joshua Tree and shot a video for a song called Mercy that I did.
Yeah.
On my first solo album, which was black and white and cheap. Wow. Cheerful.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say, 2 days later, the director and I went and shot up in the desert.
We went downtown. And yeah. That ain't the first time someone ain't done that.
Yeah.
Not me. Clean and sober, 21 years.
That's it. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's fantastic news.
It'll be 11 years off cigarettes, too.
October.
I'll be 22, actually.
I remember, because I had quit smoking, and then when I quit drinking 9 years ago, I started smoking again because I was just, you know.
Yeah.
And then a couple months later, I'm like, I have to not do anything.
So how long has it been now?
Nine and 8.5 years from smoking. Nine years drinking and then eight. I never did. I couldn't do drugs. My brain would freak out.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I drink and I don't do drugs much anymore, but I did do some.
And you?
I smoke. And
smoked
drink
cigarettes.
Yeah.
Smoked cloves.
Oh my God. Let's have a look at them.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I have one?
Yeah, go for it.
What are you doing, Matt? Cloves, man. You think that's helping you?
No.
Like, you think it's a bit better than a cigarette?
No.
I did that for a while. I did that whole American spirit thing, thinking it was better.
Yeah.
Natural. It's smoke.
It's still smoke going into your lungs. Yeah.
Whatever it is, anything like that.
If you're in a natural forest and it's burning, you're still going to breathe in that smoke and it's going to affect you.
Now, while it's true the Native Americans lived more naturally than we do, nothing to do with the cigarettes.
Yeah. No.
I don't believe that they are made by any Indian nation that I'm aware of.
No, it's probably some factory.
Yeah.
With a bunch of KKK making.
We don't know that.
Just,
so
just surmising. I didn't say that. He said that.
Yeah, he said it. Matt Myra said that.
Yeah. Put it on a poster.
I mean, when I always think about when I think, it'd be really fun to live in a different time period, I always think rock star in the 70s, because no one was really afraid of anything and everyone did everything and there was no, disease, like no one gave
the
a shit.
The government hadn't come out with AIDS yet.
No one. Congratulations.
And jubilation. Wasn't that a monkey?
Sure.
No,
sure.
A guy raped a moose and then all of a sudden. Yeah.
But you know what I do think, while we're getting a bit weird.
Sure. Yeah.
And out there, which I love to do.
Yeah.
Is the evolution of man, you see the pictures and they get bigger and then it's like all of a sudden he's like a monkey, like an aborigine kind of big thing and leant over and the next thing he's like a human. I think an alien had sex with the aborigine guy and that's what made us. It was quite a big leap.
You mean a Neanderthal?
Yeah.
Well, no, Neanderthal is a separate species. Well,
Neanderthal is a separate species,
one before... You see the picture of us. Like,
there is a big jump compared to the others.
Well, then, they just haven't found the fossils, or an alien fucked something.
If you really want to talk about, because I know that the Neanderthals are a different species line.
Yeah.
But we did share a common ancestor, and that ancestor would have been either Homo erectus or Australopithecus afarensis. If we're taking it nerdy,
we can.
Then that's what I would say. But I always love the idea of like, sure, why not? An alien came down and fucked an early hominid species, and then we got Homo sapiens sapien.
Not a male.
No, of course.
Obviously.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it had to.
Aliens are rapists.
No, an alien came down, and then God took one of its ribs.
Yes.
And then made people.
I mean, you got to admit, no man made them things.
The pyramids?
Yeah.
Sure they did.
No way.
Absolutely.
Well, they might have been forced to make it, but there was someone who planned it and said, you do this and you do that.
Yeah, like a foreman.
They just figured out how the Easter Island heads got moved around.
Yeah, they had like a series of ropes and they rocked them up into place.
Yeah, like 30 different people pulling from each side.
It's just science. It's just physics. It's,
and
it's workable.
Island. They figured that one out too.
Yeah.
Have to move that around.
It's your
30 different people.
Yeah. All dudes.
When Indy 103.1 popped up, LA radio is so interesting to me.
I think we're moving too fast off of the alien thing.
Okay, you want to go back to it? What do you want to?
I'm just saying, like, I mean, so the pyramids. You're just saying they were thought,
and the Mayan places
and the Mayans.
They're extreme buildings. I just don't think
they were excellent engineers.
But maybe them, we them just slabs, had some sort of
them slabs yeah. of the pyramids were massive.
They're saying now that they don't think slaves built it. They think the pharaohs, like, just fans of the pharaoh built it because of these carvings.
Oh, you mean like fans,
found.
Like they would be killed by the pharaoh if they didn't build the pyramids?
No, just the guys that would fan the pharaoh.
You know how people make drawings of us and bring them to shows? Same thing with the pyramids.
Yeah.
No, but they said they found these, very recently found all these carvings. That like say things like, "Hey, the pharaoh's pretty good."
I know, but you have that in like North Korea, where it's when Kim Jong Il died, and everyone was crying. They were crying because they were afraid of getting shot.
Yeah.
Or
that was so obvious.
Yeah, like, exactly. You could. I've seen fake crying.
And
I've
action.
Done fake crying.
Did I cry? But am I going to get shot? I'm not going to get shot.
Yeah.
I love that Google Earth has discovered, you know, like their satellites have discovered pyramids, what they believe were ancient pyramids,
like underwater.
Just nearby. That no one's ever seen before because there were no satellite images.
This is a guy who's like, "Do you ever walk that way?" "No, I don't think I have."
"I don't know. I mean, I can go this way."
"Pizza Hut?" No, the other way.
"Oh, you mean
way.
Right up where the sand comes to a point?" Yeah. "Nah, why? Why would I?"
And they just go to
Oh, shit. Wait, no one's done this in thousands? No, I don't know. I mean, you got
like a slight gust would have showed
this. Look at this. It says aliens built this.
"Look, I'm busy. I got stuff to do." Are you done with the alien thing now,
yeah,
man?
I think I'm okay with it. Yeah,
When Indy 103.1 launched, it was every so often LA radio has a station that's like, okay, we're gonna go in and we're actually gonna play good music and we're gonna, because it's we've not had a lot of success with that in LA radio playing like good indie, actual indie music and exposing people to good music, and. Everyone had so many like, "Oh, it's working. It's going to work." And then you came in and totally, instantly your show became the most popular show.
Yeah.
And you kind of did a version of what a podcast is. You just talked about your life.
Did it live. Yeah.
So what did you kind of realize that that's what you wanted to do? Did you go and go, "Well, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm just going to talk."
That's what happened. The first time I ever did it, I'm like, "Okay, and action." And I'm like, it was the weirdest thing. I didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
You know, and then the stumbling around, I guess that an appeal to it, you know, at first. I was stumbling around, I didn't know what I was doing. But to, you know, real music fans or, you know, that small minority gravitated to it because it was different, it was real.
Yeah,
and it wasn't all, you know, "Hey." Yeah.
And it was the most like comforting show to listen to. Just the pace of it was just so nice. It was like the best for the afternoon.
Yeah, I love doing it. It was a shame, but you know,
I actually got bummed when you would play music. Like, I just want to hear him talk,
whistle, play guitar. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was fun. And then like I loved it when you would have somebody on and you would learn their song.
Yeah.
Like my friend Annie from Giant Drag, when she went on, like we were really excited, and then like you started playing. This isn't it. And like, I was like, "Oh my God, it's like, it was such a cool thing for you to do."
Yeah. That you could actually do that. Just play someone's song who wasn't known or something, but you couldn't do the whole day. You couldn't do what I was doing. You have to play a format at some point. You have to have a, otherwise it just won't work. You know, I can't believe that it actually worked for 5 years, but you know, it's the format that you do play, you know. That's the difference.
I'm glad the K-Rock picked it up.
Yeah. I enjoy doing it. It's a Sunday night. I don't know how many people listen. I think young people like it. Some young kids like it. I play new music. I actually have the CDs still.
Yeah.
And I can, you know, I can flap around a little. My hands are a bit tight. I can't just do what I want to do, but I still enjoy doing it.
And do you still enjoy discovering new music?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the only way I would do it. I couldn't just be a jock in between their playlist. No offense to their playlists.
Well, it is mostly 90s rock.
Well, that's what it is. It's turned into the KLOS of the 2000s. It's become the modern alternative classic rock station.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what people want to hear, I guess. And they sling a few new things in and there, but basically, you know, it's Kevin and Bean and...
Like K-Rock, a new single will come out by a band. Like, for example, the most recent one, Green Day's new single. They play Green Day's 90s stuff more, and they'll do that. Every time a band has a new single, they'll play their older stuff more than they'll play the new single.
Well, because when you look at that genre of music, there, you know, and the way that classic radio is formatted, like the way that old media radio is formatted, there's a specific genre of music, and when you think about the landscape of music now, it's so splintered. Like, what is a rock movement right now that a radio station could wrap its identity around? And there kind of isn't one that I can think of. I mean, there are songs that are good or this, you know, but I don't know what that. It's not as obvious as you know, Brit alternative, new wave, grunge. It's just not. I think they just have a hard time wrapping their minds around what that is.
Yeah,
for sure.
I was hoping 98.7 would kind of pick up the ball with that. It's like, you know, the newest rock station in LA. And it's more of like you can go between K-Rock and 98.7 and just pretty much always hear like Nirvana.
Yeah, you know, it is weird.
Maybe there's just not a market for it. A big mainstream market for like indie stuff.
Or if the people who listen to that music just don't listen to the radio.
Right.
Much in the same way that, you know...
Hipsters.
Or much in the same way that, you know, that... Sometimes, like, G4 might suffer because its target demo doesn't watch television. They consume a lot of their content online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's a little bit of that, too.
If I was a billionaire, I'd start my own station.
And it wouldn't matter. Yeah, just fuck it. Why not?
You know, you just get it out there. It would be popular. Before the old thing crashed, you know, with Wall Street deal, whatever, they were getting some good... It wasn't about ratings. They were making some big money on Toyota and other big companies. They were making money, even though the signal was small and the ratings didn't really make any difference. They were fine until, you know, it all kind of went skew-whiff.
It was a small... The indie staff was... I mean, it was... Again, it was housed in Intravision, but the indie staff itself was really small. Like, there wasn't a ton of overhead to run that station.
I charged a lot.
Well, deservedly so. You had the most popular show.
But and that's a shame.
They had a real diverse staff, too. They had a guy from the Vandals.
Yeah.
You know, Joe. Joe Escalante.
Dickie Barrett.
Dickie Barrett. But he left, and then that's when Joe came in.
Joe came in, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, with Steve Jones, that's a, you know, like three generations of...
There were a couple people on that station though that felt like they were engineering to the target demographic a little bit, where they would purposely like, there's an event where I don't even know what am I using words here. Yeah, like it was a little too.
Anyway, here's the Postal Service.
Yeah.
Bloop, bloop, bloop,
yeah.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. Yeah, not everyone can be a buffoon like me, you know. it takes something.
Yeah, there is something more. It's like you meander, but then you could like there is always like something there. There's a like a substance to it, as opposed to like, you know, a KXLU DJ or a radio DJ. It's just like, you just heard XBXRX, and before that, and then they go like, you know, 10 songs back.
God damn like, it, that was soothing.
Yeah,
really was nice when you did that. Maybe you can do that for Jonah Radio. Is it so for you? You're probably about 50 years old when Indy 3 and when 103.1 kicks up.
When it started?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even remember when. 7 years ago?
Yeah, something like 50. That. Yeah, you're about 50. So, was there ever? You must have had no idea that. Oh, I'm gonna. You know, for this part of my life, I'm actually gonna be a personality.
Never thought about it once. Never thought about it. I got a call from this guy. Terry Anzaldo, who used to get songs played on the radio at Maverick, and I was at Maverick with a band called the Neurotic Outsiders, and I just remember him, we used to have a laugh, whatever, and I guess when that was in 96. And then, you know, many years later, he must have talked to the guy, Michael Steele.
Yeah.
And I got a phone call, and it was like, we got this new station, and I'd have been listening to it, funny enough. It had been on about 2 weeks. Buddy of mine said, you got to listen to this station. There's no commercials, and they're playing all punk songs.
Yeah.
And it was exciting. So I was already clued into it, and he said, do you want to work over here? I said, I want to be a DJ, just like out of the blue. And he's like, oh, all right, well, we meet. And we met up, and I said, I'll do it as long as I can play what I want and say what I want. And he said, okay. And I did it 4 days a week, Tuesday for Friday, 1 hour a day. And it started getting popular, so they give me a bit more time, 2 hours, 5 days a week.
Nice.
That's good.
What are you doing with the rest of your time now that you're doing the show weekly?
Well, I've just been doing some thespianing. I was on Californication.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
I did 4 episodes playing an English tour manager.
I believe it.
Just playing
I believe
myself.
It.
But with a leather jacket on and like a bag.
Didn't you play like a tour manager in an episode of Roseanne or something like that?
I don't know if it's tour manager. I mean, I just play me.
Oh, okay.
It all depends what they dress me as. You know, it's like Michael Caine. He's always the same.
Yeah.
That's what I am. The only true actors are like people like Gary Oldman who can actually like play different characters.
Yeah.
You know.
You know what, though? I think it's actually hard to just play a regular guy.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what that is when you go, okay, just be a regular guy. Like, what, am I doing it now? I don't know. Yeah, is this it? Yeah. Am I a regular guy?
Well, Gary Oldman probably couldn't play a regular guy. You notice all his characters are like...
Or like Johnny Depp, who played with you.
In P.
Yeah.
Who's always like... I mean, when was the last time you just saw him like, oh, he's just a guy in a movie?
There was the one with The Tourist.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thanks.
No, I'm sorry.
You know no, it's that? Good. Yeah. I asked.
I didn't watch it. It wasn't nominated for Best Comedy or Musical.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was another one. I just got a call out of the blue. The creator, Tom Kapinos... And he writes and he started it, and he got this guy in this season, which comes out in January, a guy called Tim Minchin.
Tim Minchin, Australian musician became comedian.
Massive.
Like, huge. In England. About, like Phil's the O2, twice over.
He's doing it.
Yeah.
He's Australian, but he lives in England. He's playing this rock star in it, and I'm playing his tour manager. And Tom said, who could we get to play tour manager? Someone who's burly and big and the
bulldog breed.
He thought of me.
That's awesome.
And I called me and it was great. It was such a laugh.
Tim's a great guy.
It was so much fun. It was so much fun. We all got along. And, you know, David Duchovny, they're such a cool, there's no eggshell walking, you know. Everyone's having a good time.
Well,
Four episodes, I mean.
I think when you get to a certain point, in your career, hopefully people just kind of start to go, you know, this should be fun, and there's no need for crappy bullshit, because it just gets in the...
Some people don't grow, though.
No, I guess that's true.
Unfortunately.
I guess that's
true. It should be the protocol, but a lot of people just can't let it go, you know?
What was the... Because...
Oh, that's better.
What?
They get better, Steve.
Young lady just walked by.
It's okay.
It's just like...
I like them more curvy.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Wrong building for
that. That was fava beans and a nice candy. Yeah.
So
that's why he likes more meat.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I like to know what size backs they got. It's still a classic, man. It was on TV the other day. It's still a classic.
Yeah.
You can't not watch it. It totally holds up.
Does he actually say it puts the lotion in the basket or it gets the hose again? He doesn't, does he?
Buffalo Bill says that. He says that when she's in the...
No, I know, but I don't think...
The pit.
I was watching it. I mean, I know it wasn't on a cable. It was like mainstream TV, so they might have...
They might have cut it for time.
Because the one he kept saying was, it puts the hose on its back or it gets...
Yeah.
No, it puts the lotion on its back or it gets the hose again.
Puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again. And then she's in the movie, she starts saying like, please, I'll give you whatever you want, please. And then he just loses vision. He just goes, put the fucking lotion on the back.
And then he mimics her.
Yeah. But
then,
honestly,
then he touched the back, does a nice little dance.
Guys, how many of us really seriously have not just tucked our dick between our legs and started dancing in front of a mirror while chanting, I'd fuck me, I'd fuck me. I mean, we all do that.
Well, I've done it, but not with the I did it way before that movie. So I didn't have any guidelines to go by.
I didn't know what kind
of that's how you're supposed to do that.
Would
Where
you
was
fuck
it?
Me? I fucked me.
Where was it? I mean, that actor who's a fucking great actor, and he's been in a ton of stuff. And
Ted Levine.
Yeah. I think he's on The Closer.
He's in some show right
I think
now.
He might be on The Closer. He might have been in maybe he was in the Holly Hunter one. But that poor guy, still after all this time, people are still like, should I put the lotion? He's like, I get it. I fucking get it.
And the other guy in them classic one-liners that just stick. The guy in Deliverance.
Oh right, right. Spill like a pig. Yeah.
Ned Beatty.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he must get it all the time. Right? Come in at a party, he's drunk. You know, sees him. He's like, it goes over. He must get it.
He can never go into a barbecue place.
No,
because this is.
He can never rape a dude.
These pigs sure squealed before we made
your
sandwich.
That guy's gonna expect him to say it.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're gonna rape me, why don't you fucking say the line?
Come on, man. That was a long time ago.
Just give me that much.
If I have to get raped, at least it's you.
Are you saying you want deliverance from this bit? Please.
Wow.
Please. Can we just?
Hard times have befallen Ned Beatty in this reality.
Did he do a lot more movies afterwards?
Yeah, he's been in a ton of stuff. Yeah, he was in Superman. He was in Superman 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Well, that was still a long time ago.
You just mentioned a movie from 3 years after Deliverance.
All right.
He's done so much.
Yeah. What was he just in that I saw? Forget it.
Maybe there should be a reality
Deliverance
show.
2.
Where are they now? And track them down and get them to reenact their favorite line.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That's a bad idea for the person who has to reenact the line.
But he's broke by now, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I don't
the
think
ones
that
who are broke
is.
And
you know,
will do anything.
De Niro always refused to say, are you talking to me?
Yeah.
He always refused to do it. And then the bummer thing was
Ned Beatty just played lots of Huggins. Toy Story 3.
Did you already
what the voiceover?
Oh, he was the bear.
Yeah.
Voiceover.
Yeah. Oh, lots of Huggins.
Your phone's faster than mine.
I did a voiceover for Madagascar.
Oh, really? Which
I was one of the
tour managing ape?
No, I was one of the little dogs in the circus.
Nice.
Jonesy, his name was.
How did you get that?
What a stretch.
My manager actually got me that. She actually finally got me something. And
after all this time, she finally has paid off
for that one little two lines that I got in a big movie no one knows about. No one knows I'm in it. I mean,
I wonder if
she's
Chris
right.
Rock, Steve Jones, Ben Stiller.
Yeah. In that order, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think that as Lots of Huggins, he said to John Ratzenberger's character, I want to make you squeal like a pig.
What? I want to make you squeal like a pig.
I don't think he would have said that.
Why not? They should have just done that.
They probably weren't in the room at the same time.
So De Niro would never say that. And then he said it in a movie that was like I think it was like a Rocky and Bullwinkle movie. I think it was in Rocky and Bullwinkle. And then he said, it was like, if you were just going to say the line, why did it have to be in a crappy movie?
Yeah. Mm. But you could actually make him say it. You could see him at a party or something and go behind his back and say, hey, Robert, how are you doing, Robert? And say,
was that in reference to me?
No. God.
That's almost.
Yeah. That's good.
Are you talking near me? No.
Yeah.
What's the, because I, you know, again, like I said, never had any experience with drugs. What was it like to be on drugs, playing music in the 70s, living that? Like, are there even any words that you can express?
Sure, but you wouldn't be able to understand them.
Sure. Well, I didn't do heroin till after the Sex Pistols broke up, but I guess I did, you know, coke and speed and a lot of booze when the Pistols were going. And I wasn't really happy. I thought I was having a good time. Everything was at my disposal, you know, chicks, all that stuff, but I was not really happy until I got sober.
Yeah,
I didn't realize at the time. I thought I was having a good time, but looking back on it, I was just lonely soul, really
trying to distract yourself from being bummed out.
Yeah, I mean, I love music. I like doing what I was doing, but it weren't about music. The Sex Pistols.
How old were you when you started?
Only when we did the album. Never mind the bollocks.
When you started playing guitar, how old
19.
Were you?
19.
You started playing at
3 months before we did our first gig.
Wow. Wow.
That was it. Well, and there was like, would you guys, was it like you heard the Stooges and you wanted to make a band?
No, I mean, I used to play along to the Stooges. I did a lot of speed.
Yeah.
That was the out. You know, have you ever done speed?
Yes.
These things called Black Beauties. We used to get them off this quack in Harley Street. It was a diet, you know, and you'd get like 60 Black Beauties and you get 60 Mandrakes, which was like, Mandrakes was the English version of Quaaludes.
Oh, so just the go up and then the come down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would take one of them and we had a little studio in Denmark Street and I would literally play hours and hours because of the speed gives you the focus.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's what I did for 3 months.
Wow. And then you were able to like catch up and just be a good
kind of.
Did you have were you looking at like pictures of like where the fingers were, or did you just kind of?
No, I literally just played along to records. I knew this guy who was in the band before Wally, before John, when I was singing. This guy called Wally, he actually could play a few chords, and I kind of messed around, but I didn't focus on it. But I kind of knew, you know, where he put his fingers. Is that better? No, she needs a tan. I see through her. Anyway, what was I saying? practicing, focusing.
Focus. about focus.
Yeah.
What was I saying?
And, he was talking about taking something to be focused.
But the bands I used to listen to in that period were the New York Dolls, Stooges, David Bowie, when he had Red Spike, he had them two albums, Rise and Fall, Ziggy Stardust, Lad Insane, The Faces.
Yeah.
Free and Mott the Hoople and Queen. That's where all my stuff came from.
Yeah.
Them bands.
Wow.
Yeah, because those were all harder edged. I mean, the guitar playing by Brian May is just like, it's proto.
That first album is really good.
Yeah.
Did you see him on the thing?
Yeah.
Closing ceremony? What did you think? It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's missed a few steps, but he's still good.
He just went to, I don't know, he's one of them people who can't say no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just shows up.
He really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else has got going on? Didn't Queen just play like a reunion show with that kid from that kid from American Idol?
I don't know. It sounds like a thing.
Because
Paul Rodgers for a while was attempting to sing with him.
Yeah. But there was that kid that won. It was the gay kid that like always talked about Freddie Mercury. Adam Lambert. He was just like, he would always talk about his, like, one of his main influences was Freddie Mercury. And so all this talk came up of just like, he should sing with Queen then. And then like, I think they did like a one-off show.
That guy, Mika. Do you remember he had a hit? He had a very Freddie Mercury voice. He could have cut it. But I don't think anyone can just step
in. You just can't replace Freddie Mercury.
No, you can't. You think you can. It's like when you listen to Paul John Bonham. You think like, oh, he just goes gush, gash. There's a lot more than gush, gash.
Well, he's the Greek, and they were advertising that like next month Jason Bonham and the Led Zeppelin Experience is coming.
Yeah. Well, Jason Bonham, he's playing with some other band.
His dad I'm talking about, though.
Yeah, exactly. But
he was a great drummer.
He's a great drummer.
And there's a lot that you don't hear. People just go over what is really going on, and it's the same with singers. Mm. And Freddie Mercury was special.
Did you know him at all?
Well, I had one encounter with him, and he wasn't pleased.
No?
Did he not like punk?
This is better.
Here we go. Nicely done.
He waved.
Still got it.
He's still got it.
Hey.
So, oh my God, she's blowing him right now. That is amazing.
That was quick.
So it's the difference between music and comedy, Jonah.
Yeah.
This is what musicians get.
And I made the wrong choice.
And comedians get restraining orders.
Yes.
So he was not, Freddie Mercury was not a fan of punk or just, or the Pistols?
No,
or what?
We was getting ready to record Nevermind the Bollocks, and we went into the studio called Wessex Studio, which they were recorded in it as well. And we went in the door, which we thought was the front door, but it was the door to the where he was in there doing a vocal.
Oh shit!
And we all just went traipsing
so
in there.
So somewhere there's a tape of the Sex Pistols bursting in
a door.
The squeakiest door in London.
he's doing the 20th.
Layer
of Galileo. Yeah.
And just very slightly in the background, you can hear, who the fuck is this cunt? Yeah. Like, just very slightly in the background.
We just walked by and went, cunt.
What album were they recording? Do you know?
That's kind of crazy that there could be a Queen and a Sex Pistols album being recorded in the same spot.
Yeah, Brian May was cool and the drummer was cool. We made friends with him, but didn't see Freddie a lot. Well, it must have been, what, an album comes out about a year after you recorded it? So 75? No, it must have been, because we was going in 77. So whatever album they got around there.
Was that Night at the Opera?
Might be.
Maybe it's the one, Now I'm Here, Sheer Heart Attack? I don't know.
I think Sheer Heart Attack was.
That was earlier.
That was earlier, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Might have been Night at the Opera. Right,
with I'm In Love With My Car.
And now I know.
Fucking prophet song.
Yeah.
These stories are just like, hey, he just locked himself in a room and just layer after layer after layer.
Yeah.
Well, Roy Thomas Baker was the producer. Great records. I mean, they had their sound, you know, all that layering.
Yeah.
So you said that the Pistols wasn't about music for you. What was it about?
No, I mean, when we were doing Nevermind the Bollocks, basically before we did the Bill Grundy show, it was about music, you know. And, you know, it was about getting out and doing normal things like recording a record and doing some shows. But then after the Bill Grundy show, the one where I swear on
the Today Show, yeah.
Yeah. It totally just went a different direction.
Then he kind of egged you on in that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
We only reacted to his, you know, we didn't say, oh, we're going to go on him and swear.
Yeah.
We was reacting to this ass who was trying to make us look stupid, who was drunk as well.
Oh, really?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. All them guys back then, they were all like that. Bigots.
Sipping on
you guys brought your friends on with you, too, right?
It was Susie from Susie and the Banshees. Yeah. Before she had Susie and the Banshees, she was, you know, a fan. And she had the
Banshee list.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands, Susie and the Banshees.
She's good. And he kind of tried to get a bit naughty with her. Like, she said, I've always wanted to meet you, Bill.
That's right.
He said, oh, we'll meet after the show then, yes? Mm. Meaning, like, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a whistling contest.
Yeah, contest. Yeah. Not bad.
And so, you know, just let him have it. And he says, go on, say some more. I mean, I was drunk too. They put us in the green room and they had a bunch of Blue Nun.
Oh, yeah, wine. The Blue Nun, the wine, yeah.
And I'm nervous because, you know, I've never been on TV before. I'm 19, and I'm like, glug, 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 glug. Give me that one. Glug, 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 glug. So I was ready.
He's 19 and playing guitar for 5 months.
Yeah. I mean, about to have a hit record. Yeah, about to make history. Yeah.
It basically was like being in a pub, and there's a guy says something, and you say something back. That's what it was like.
Well, especially like all those old 70s game shows, you know, they were totally plied with alcohol.
Yeah. That's the way it was back then. Bigots. They were all bigots. It was a little club.
And then I'm sure...
All the interviews you see with early Beatles, them guys are talking down to them. Have you noticed
that?
Yeah,
it's really
weird. That was the format. That's the way they used to talk
to So this
to
is
them.
What you do.
What's
this
up
is
with
what
this?
You do.
Yeah, what's wrong with his hair?
And would you think this is great?
Yeah.
Why do people like you? Yeah. I remember I saw one Beatle interview. It was like, why do you think all of this attention?
Yeah, and I always go into the money as well.
Yeah.
Do you make all this money?
Yeah.
And they're just like 22-year-old kids going like,
on speed.
Well, they were actually pretty good, the Beatles, with their comebacks with them.
They were really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they were also on speed.
Lennon was pretty, I mean, like, he was I think he might have been kind of a dick, but he was a funny guy. Like, he was a super.
He was standing up for himself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
A lot of them bands were just go along with the program and kiss ass, you know?
Well, I think there was a period of time where, you know, the more traditional parts of our culture didn't really respect the arts as a thing. It's not really, you don't do a real thing. You know, like there was kind of that idea, like, you don't have a real job.
Of course.
Yeah. You're like, well, we do work pretty fucking hard to make this stuff.
And in America in the 70s, early 70s, when guys had long hair,
they
could have been rich, but no one took them seriously because it was all about that corporate guys in suits.
Yeah.
They didn't take anyone seriously who had long hair. It's all changed now, though.
Yeah, it's just that kind of the opposite. You know, now we praise too much.
Yeah. the more kind of nerdiest you look, you kind of like, oh, he must be rich.
Yeah. Look at him, he doesn't give a shit. He must be wealthy beyond me.
What do you think a punk band today is up against or looks like? I mean, I mean, just like
you're up against 2 years in Russian prison.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Which
They laughed when they got sent.
I heard that. They giggled.
They're not laughing now.
They're like
the gulag. They're in the gulag with fucking.
They have 19 more months. And I have to say, as awful as that whole story is and what's happened to them, I still can't help. Every time I see like on CNN the words pussy riot, I'm like, great. They're just saying pussy on CNN.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not going to appeal it.
Well, them prisons are pretty hardcore, I would imagine.
But these are young girls. These girls are, these are 20s.
Let me tell you, when they get out, and then they get out of the country, and then they come to America for their first tour, they'll make a ton of money, and that'll be the end.
Yeah. Maybe
it'll be an all a cappella tour, because they have no instruments.
And all they have to do is be imprisoned in a horrible nightmare. For 2 years.
Eastern Bloc.
No, it's fucked. It's fucking...
It's no good.
Because I just wonder...
why did they pick on them? And that can't be the first band who have, like, talked about the government.
Well, they burst into into a church, and then they had ski masks on, and they did there. And so there's, you know, I think there's not necessarily a lot of social separation of religious of church and state in America.
What is the religion? Is it all one religion?
Well, it's Russian Orthodox.
So it's you know, like there's really a separation of church and state idea, and so it's, you know, when they were interviewing. I think they said that 6% of the people that they surveyed were on their side.
Ugh.
And 55% thought that they were blasphemous.
Okay, we just missed a huge chunk of percentage.
Those people had no comment.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what
they don't want to be Putin in prison.
But plus, they can't go along with the program, even if they didn't mind the girls. They're not going to say, oh, I'm against the government.
Of course.
Because they might come after them.
Yeah.
Well, but my original question was... the punk movement was just sort of an anti movement to everything, like a reaction.
That came upon us that we were against everything. When we first started, we were just a band, and John wrote certain lyrics.
Yeah,
you know, we didn't set out to do this, and then everyone put their take on it. Oh, they're doing this now. It's because they're doing this. You know, We didn't set out to like. The anti-establishment and didn't want to make any money and all this stuff. We don't do drugs. That wasn't us.
That was
the Crash was more like that.
Yeah,
but not us. We wanted to have a laugh, you know.
And do you feel like that worked for a while, or was there a certain point where you're like, oh shit, we're actually fucking rock stars now?
Well, yeah, we're actually upsetting people and. Governments couldn't work it out. What are they talking about? God save the Queen. That offended a lot of people at the time. A lot of English royalists, you know. They were really upset.
Could you get in trouble in the 70s? Yeah, they couldn't do it. They still couldn't.
No, because we're not really saying anything. It's just saying she made you a moron.
Right.
You know. No, we weren't calling a C-U-N-T or nothing, you know.
Have you ever met any from the royal family?
No. No.
I don't think he's invited.
It's frowned upon.
But after all these years.
Ah, oh, come on. Let bygones be bygones, Queen.
Come on. We were young. Yeah. You were young-ish.
We'll play a show for you. How about that?
We were young. You were middle-aged.
Yeah.
Well, they played God Save the Queen at the open ceremony, but NBC chose to cut it out. It was a minute and a half of doing Pretty Vacant. With
oh,
the
really?
Queen in the audience, yeah.
Wow.
And they didn't NBC cut it. And the commercials.
Oh, NBC.
Was there a...
They haven't done anything right since Seinfeld.
Having a must-see TV. Was there one good story where you, like, afterwards, you were like, I'm surprised we're not all... that we are still alive after everything that happened?
No. What, you mean?
Just one good crazy night story.
No. Not really. No. No, I mean, I couldn't tell you anything that was that crazy, where it was life-threatening or
You guys, it's just that there's so much around what you did that people are writing in their own lore.
That's what I'm saying. That's what happens. That's what happens to these idiots come out with these books and they have, who weren't there, by the way.
Right.
But they make it read like they're there and they change history. And everyone does it for years. I mean, was there really a Jesus?
Probably not.
I don't know.
Just
you,
some
you
dude.
Know, you know what I mean? That was written by someone.
Right.
Yeah.
Who probably weren't there.
That's usually what I hate about historians. Every time you're watching like a historical documentary, you see the guy talking like he was there. It's like, thing you got to know about Caesar is like, when we were hanging out.
Yeah,
excuse me, sir. He was really funny. He was a funny guy.
I used to talk about that. Me and Owen Wilson, we were in Hawaii. He was doing a movie called The Big Bounce, and I was hanging out with him. And every night we would watch on A&E the history of Civil War.
Yeah.
And it was that one dude who was absolutely, we picked up on it. Like, I'm like, this guy don't know fuck all. What is he talking about? Yeah, like, right, he's there with Custer.
Yeah.
Robert E. Lee, me and Robert E. Lee, you know. Yeah. He was a good guy.
Bobby to his friends. Yeah.
He came in one night and he says to me,
it's the best way to start anything. Yeah.
But it's true. It's true. And that's, people do that. And they get paid for it.
Why does the CD player sound like a machine gun?
It's just the second one. The first one's still okay.
Cool. You guys, we're on one engine now.
engine number two has just gone out, but do not panic. The plane can still land with just one engine. All right, it is time to panic.
A second. What kind of, like, as far as like punk music right now, is there anything that you like? Is there I guess some of the bigger ones, like Against Me or I guess Green Day, but it's not really punk.
No, I don't mind Green Day. I mean, they're good. They made a lot of money, man. They're smart guys. I mean, I think they made a fortune off that play, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird.
I wish someone would do a play of The Great Rock and Roll Swindle.
It seems ripe for it. It's already, like, it's so ridiculous. It's already a movie that they can easily just turn into, and all the songs are there.
Yeah, and you could tweak it a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you ever get any big shots listening to your show?
You know studio about?
All of them are big shots to us, Steve.
Yeah. They're all winners.
Big shots listening. You mean big shots like music people or like?
Yeah, like movie people or.
I met Jon Favreau at a party at Comic-Con last year, and he was like, "Oh, I really enjoyed your podcast with Damon Lindelof." And I was like, "Oh, what?
What promotion do you get to get your podcast out there, to get people aware of it and to listen?"
We just put it out there. I mean, I have word of mouth website, you know, consistency. We put them up a lot, you know, like we do three shows a week. We kind of spawned a television version of the show, or whenever I'm on television, a lot of times I'll refer back to the podcast just to remind people that it's a thing.
Yeah. Live shows.
Yeah. Live shows. You know, I think it's just the little pieces of everything, you know, and I think just kind of sticking in the game and getting people like you on too helps.
Thank you. Now, would you call it like being on the internet? Is that what you call it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is for sure. Because you can only access it via the, you know, if you have an internet connection.
Yeah,
you know,
my manager keeps saying you need to get your own show. I did a thing once for Ryan Kavanaugh. It was called I Am Rogue.
Yeah.
And I hated it. I absolutely hated it.
How come?
I just got a feeling. Well, I didn't get a feeling. I know there's like 10 people who used to listen to it because no one knew about it. Here's some good ones.
They all wave back. That's so fantastic.
You still got it, everybody. You still got it.
Let it be known. Let it be known.
I always fight her about doing this or doing something like this because I just like being on the radio. I think, you know, it's people listening, whether anyone's on terrestrial. And to me, I just got this thing where I just think, like, it's a waste of time, but you obviously don't think so.
No, I mean, this podcast completely changed everything. I mean, it's sort of the anchor of everything for me and certainly for us. And it allowed us to tour better venues.
Yeah.
Because it, I mean, the podcast did more to get people out to live shows than like all of the TV shows I've ever done combined.
Yeah. Do you have to pay for the podcast?
No, it's free. Yeah, the podcast is free because I want more people to hear it. So I also like getting fun free content. So I don't ever want people to have to pay for it.
So who pays for this studio?
Who makes this happen?
Oh, we just sneak in here.
He's not kidding.
In a way, we've been sneaking in here. Not sneaking.
Do you have to pay out your own pocket? Is my point.
I did for a while. But then my company got merged with another company and then got bought by a bigger company, but I still get to run it, but they just fund it basically.
Yeah.
So it's all coming to that. And then advertise like sponsors.
Once you get to a certain amount, sponsors want to be in.
Well, yeah. You know, like when you start
stamps.com, the good people at stamps.com allow you to print your own stamps. You don't have to go to the post office.
That reminds me of audible.com.
Now, Jonah, if you want to hear any kind of book, like if Steve Jones has a book video, he's probably read it and you hear it on audible.com.
Exactly.
And if you lose your book on audible.com, you should back it up with Carbonite.
And if you want a physical copy of the book, why not click on the Amazon link on this page?
Through this page.
When you go to buy the Sex Pistols Blu-ray.
When you go to buy the Sex Pistols box set, use our Amazon link on Nerdist.com.
Yeah, it comes out 24th of September.
There you go.
In England. I don't know when it comes out here.
Yeah.
See?
Or Amazon.co.uk.
He still got it. Jonesy still got it.
Amazon waved back to Jonesy.
So it is pretty substantial. Like at a certain point when your numbers kind of start getting up there, it's sort of like, well, you know, if I don't have, you know, like I don't have an entire radio staff to pay, and so it's just the money.
Use the offer code WTF.
We passed that.
Oh, sorry.
Use the offer code WTF. I know we get all these. We get the people like, you know, other podcasters. People go, I don't know if I should sign up for stamps.com with you or Mark Maron. I'm like, give it to Mark. It's fine. Like, you know, like it'll all work out. It'll all work out.
Can you steal podcasts or they can just listen to them?
You can have them.
They're free. They're free. Do whatever you want.
You put them on your iPod or your iPhone. Yeah. You can listen to it in the car like it's radio. A lot of people listen to us like because they have long commutes.
Right.
The only time, and even this, I don't really, I don't know. I don't care. Because for me, I like that a lot of people listen to it. But if someone takes our file and hosts it on a different server, we, you know, technically can't count the downloads for that, which affects, you know, like whether or not with the sponsor. So that's the only time where it's like, nah, but I don't enforce that. I mean, I still want as many people to hear the show as possible.
Yeah. But you think it's...
Yes, Jones, we'll put out your podcast. It's fine.
No, does it help?
It's going to get in the way of mine.
Stand up and stuff?
Does it help me to promote stand up or get stand up?
Like,
it helps promote, and then if we actually went back and listened to every episode, we would all get stuff that we've said that we could develop into bits. Like, it would help.
It's probably an hour for each of us sitting
easily, just in this year alone, if you stitched all the riffs together.
Yeah. Hold
but on, I just I on. Think
historian guy.
Oh, sure. Guy who knew Caesar.
Yeah.
What am I? And then there was a Custer reference in there. But I think what's hard sometimes for agents and traditional media management people to understand is that they always think very short term and they go, how does this thing make money? And you go, okay, it doesn't necessarily make money right now, but it builds a much bigger thing that, you know, then you tour or you get to, you know, and it's fun. And the most important reason to do is just that it's fun.
So for me, right, who don't go and do, I don't do any circuiting or stand up or anything, what would be the purpose for me to do it other than money? Sponsors.
You could get the sponsors, but also on top of it, like if you wanted to do like live event, like say like Jonesy's Jukebox becomes a podcast, then you could do, it's like, hey, come to this live taping of Jonesy's Jukebox and the fans are going to go and pay money to go see it live. And it'd be less about you playing music, it'd be more about the conversation and stuff like that, because they're just going to be so excited to see it actually happen.
Yeah.
And this may not have the same impact at this point on you that it has on us, but I love going to shows and interacting with people who listen to the shows because the show is such a It's such a hangout format. What are you laughing at? the girls walking by.
Still got it.
I know.
He sits up straight when the girls walking by.
My ears are in, though.
You just, like, they don't even have to walk by. His nostrils flare. He just knows.
There they are.
It's like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Who was that?
I sit like this all the time.
Who was that tattooed gentleman with excellent posture back there?
Exactly.
And a good head of hair.
I'll bet he's got some excellent genes that I would like to put in my eggs.
Both.
That he probably says. But I really like interacting with the people who listen to our show, because our show is such a hangout kind of a thing that the people who listen they're usually people that we would probably hang out with. They like the same stuff we like. They're nice. And so it's just kind of a nice communal thing for us. But for you... Yeah, you do it because it's fun, but at your point, you would have...
I'd have to play music as well.
But you would have the... Well, which could get tricky.
Because you have to pay for it.
Because you would have to pay for... You would, like people who had smaller podcasts, they're not going to get chased down, but you in particular.
Yeah.
But I also think that that you would kind of have the Corolla effect, which is that you would take your existing terrestrial audience and instantly have a huge audience for a podcast, which you would be able to get sponsors
and
right off the bat.
That if you want, you could just call it Jonesy Still Got It. Yeah. And what you do is you bring in a different bird every week, you know, and you wait.
I like that you slipped in the lingo.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was nice that you slipped in
the
lingo.
Also, I've been researching, there is a way to, if you just comment on the music, you can...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if I was in here, I would just sit here literally. This would be the show until one waved, and I'm like, come. And then you interview.
Yeah. Did you hear last episode of Jonesy Still Got It? It was like 45 minutes until anybody came in for a conversation. Yeah.
I think it's every episode, it's you trying just hitting on someone that you meet in public, and each episode ends with the rejection or... Well, I know a place just down the road.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk to you after the show.
Yeah.
And then I sit over here just to say he's still got it.
Yeah.
He still got it. That kid still got it.
It either ends with he still got it or I don't know what happened. Like either way.
You get him next time, Jonesy. That's how it ends.
She was a mess anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even the word bird is such a friendly word.
Oh, yeah.
Like I read a piece where they quote, I don't know if you actually said this or maybe you didn't, but they quoted you talking about Nancy Sponge and you said she was a horrible bird. And I'm like, still a charming word.
Yeah. It makes us sound a little bit okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Charming, like a bird is kind of a charming sort of a.
I did fuck her.
What?
Honestly done.
Yeah.
Really?
Cause still got it. No, I did though.
Did Sid know?
Well, he doesn't know anything.
He must have. Well, I don't know.
Yeah?
Maybe not. He weren't around.
Oh, it was afterwards.
No. He was alive.
Oh, he just wasn't around. Have been afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
He was in another part of the town.
Is that widely known?
Well, it probably will be soon.
How did that? That's what? How did that?
But she was kind of horrible,
quick,
right?
Quick.
Yeah, not. Oh, I hated her.
Yeah, yeah. So it was more of a hate fuck.
Yeah, it was just a hole.
You still got it.
You still got it.
I mean, I literally would fuck anything when I was 19, 20.
Well, sure, like most people, but the difference being that when I was at UCLA playing Dungeons and Dragons, the landscape of most human females was not at my disposal.
Yeah.
Wow, and there was it. And there was no sense of like, well, maybe we shouldn't. It was just like, fuck, why not?
Yeah, it was one of them spare of the moment things. And she looked all right at the moment, you know, had fishnets on and high heels.
Wow. Did you make the move or did she make the move?
Well, she definitely wanted it.
Okay.
You know, she obviously was displeased with Sid's performance.
Oh, my.
Weren't you two?
As he adjusts his glasses.
On bass.
I played all the bass on Nevermind the Bollocks.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He
fucked Joan Jett too.
What?
Hey, still got it.
He is way still got it.
Really?
Well, not recently, but
well, yeah, but
I was the one who converted her to being a thespian.
No.
I think I was the last dude.
Really?
Yeah.
Joan Jett.
That's good, but maybe bad.
Susie?
Nope. I could have. I blew it.
What'd you do?
Cookie used to do her.
Really?
Yeah.
Susie.
You ever do Blondie?
Any of the New York people?
Now we're just listening. Okay. I have a cover. Donna Summer.
Joni still got it. We got to find out how.
Did you ever fuck Buster Poindexter?
No. His forehead's way too big. But he did used to wear high heels in the New York
Dolls. Yeah, the New York Dolls.
All right, I think every episode of He Still Got Is, the first half is you talk about someone who was part of our cultural icon.
There's a list.
Okay, one more story. Please, come on, one.
Please, one.
Just one. One more good one.
One that ain't going to come back and bite me in the ass. Yeah. I think.
God, I'm so excited.
Her name starts with C and it ends with D. Big movie star.
Charlize Theron. Nope. All right.
Cameron Diaz.
No.
Oh.
What?
Cameron Diaz?
What?
Jonesy still got it!
The new quiz show that's sweeping America.
Has Jonesy got it? He does.
God damn
wow.
it.
Wow. When?
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Right around the time of The Mask when she was at her
peak. she didn't pop on the scene until The Mask. That was her first big movie.
Prior to
just an actress in Hollywood then.
Yeah.
Just trying. How long have you been in LA?
About 30 years.
Nice. You're committed. You got the tat. You got the California right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, no, I did the whole American thing. Look.
Oh, wow.
The eagle.
Is that fresh back
then? I'm a citizen.
Are you a citizen?
Yeah.
How long did that process? Our friend just became a citizen last year, and so it was kind of
it was an old deal, but yeah. You know, I finally got it. I love it.
There's next to the Napoleon tattoo is the poster for What to Expect When You're Expecting, starring Cameron Diaz.
The best one. I just got this one here the other day. And it's real fresh. Oh, no. Never mind. Gross. Liquid.
Now she's coming in.
This is a good one. Chuck Berry fucking Captain America.
Oh, shit! See that one? Oh, my God. Oh, it's like Captain America has his hand on his face, just going, oh, no!
I gotta get a picture of that.
Where's the best spot for it? Tell me what you want.
Turn on the...
Tell me what you want.
Wait, here, take a picture. I got a photo bomb there.
Tell me what to do.
Yeah, right there.
That right there?
Yeah. Thumbs up is better. That is fucking phenomenal.
Chuck still got it.
Chuck still got it. Chuck will fuck Captain
or Steve
America.
Rogers Chuck still
will
got
fuck
it.
Wolverine.
Steve Rogers.
Chuck will piss all over them.
It's like Chuck's playing a Gretchen.
Two Cowboys here with their cocks out.
Yeah.
Oh, on each side.
When you put them
together, they're slit kissing with their penises.
It looks like Butch and Sunday.
No, come on, you read that fan fiction.
That was actually a T-shirt that I used to wear back in the day. It was the two cowboys. It was a design by who's that? Tom of Finland. You know him? Erotic art. Tom of Finland.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. He has a thing.
He has a thing.
Gallery.
But Malcolm stole that image of the two cowboys and made it into a T-shirt. That's why I got it, because I always used to.
What else did Malcolm steal?
Quite a lot.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of money from
me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you still not talk about it much, or?
No, it is what it is, man.
Yeah.
It's all good. You know, if I'd have had a lot of money back then, I probably wouldn't be in there. So I prefer it now.
Yeah.
In my older age to do okay. I do okay now. It's great. Yeah. Got no complaints.
Well, I think a podcast would be a fun thing for you. And I think it would be lucrative for you. For you in particular, I think it would be.
Yeah.
Because you'd have an audience right away.
My manager's going to hear this and she's going to say, see, I told you. So you do it 3 times a week?
Yeah, but we record whenever we kind of clump them.
We record nine this week.
Key would just be able to keep on a schedule. So you can say you want it on a Friday. You just record anytime during the week as long as it comes out on Friday.
But it would be a problem. I guess I could just check. What, an hour long?
They can be whatever you want.
Longer?
No, they can be. Ours are about an hour, 45 to an hour, 15. Now we just kind of leave them as is.
Yeah.
Some people come down.
I'd have to play. Well, I wouldn't have to play music, but I'd have to, you know.
You just tell first stories. You just told like 10 stories.
Jonah and I will gladly sit in for these. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
I have a plan to do a music podcast, and as researching it, I'm realizing like it's just a little bit of commentary on anything you play. Yeah. That gets, if you say, well, this kind of sounds like this, that's pretty much all you have to do.
Yeah.
And then if you talk over it a little bit, therefore it's not anything anyone could just take out.
Right.
I think, I'm pretty sure it's going to be okay.
Right.
I'm pretty sure. We'll see what happens when I start it. But
who's the bird in Back to the Future, English bird?
Which, in Back to the Future?
Yeah.
The movie?
Yeah, with the, she had the big lips. What was her name? Back to the Future in the 80s.
Are you talking
Elizabeth Shue?
No.
Well, Leah Thompson was, but she wasn't British. She's not British.
It was Back to the Future, wasn't it?
No.
English bird. With the car that fucking...
Yeah, the car flies off at the end, but there's no English girl.
Mary Steenburgen?
That, you're the Back to the Future 3.
She was married to Steven Seagal for...
Oh, no, no. You're Kelly thinking LeBrock, of... It's Weird Science. Kelly LeBrock.
Kelly LeBrock. Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Wait, is that... Why'd you bring that up?
Oh,
God.
Could I get in trouble?
Oh,
no.
The lady in red. You didn't say anything.
We just...
No, I know. I didn't say anything about the other one. You did. I just kind of said...
I think the whole show could just be us listing people, and then when you go, we go, he still got it!
Wow. Did you ever fuck Johnny Depp?
No. Although, in the valley, there was a drag place, the Queen Mary. Do you remember that place on Ventura Boulevard, like just past Laurel Canyon?
I know.
Yeah. The Queen Mary. I've been there. It's a fucking great place.
Yeah. I don't know if it's still there. I don't know if they still do it. But one night, Diana Ross lookalike came out.
Yeah.
Jonesy.
What? He still got it!
Jonesy!
It doesn't even fucking matter! It doesn't matter!
He was like locked in the
shower.
It's gonna keep on devolving. It's gonna keep on devolving. I was walking down Santa Monica Boulevard.
They still
and I
got
saw
it.
A trash can.
Oh, Jonesy. Oh,
fuck. Well, we are just past our hour. But the Sex Pistols box set, September 24th, is coming out
in England,
which means that we have the internet, people. You can fucking track it down.
Yeah.
Order it on Amazon.
Yeah,
click
CDs
our link.
Aren't regional.
Yeah, that part's true.
And Californication next January, the new season starts.
Nice.
Fantastic. Man, it was fucking awesome to have you here. Thank you so much.
That was fun. Thank you.
Come back anytime.
Also, check out his show Sunday nights.
On K-Rock, Jonesy Jukebox.
I know you can stream K-Rock online. So.
Yeah, it gets a bit weird with the songs because they have commercials and they don't have them on the internet, so they're throwing other people's songs.
Oh, weird.
There we go. Nope, they're not looking up.
Oh, Jonesy.
I don't know. The one in the middle.
We ain't got it. No.
What happened?
Yeah, Sunday night, 7 to 9, new music, new bands kind of stuff. Still play CDs. It's fun. I like doing it.
Excellent. Enjoy your burrito, everyone.
Thank you.
That's how we sign off.
See you later.
Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Nerdist for a $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale and $55 of free postage. That's Stamps.com. Enter the promo code Nerdist.
Gen Z high school girls have gone through a lot. So what could and did send a shockwave through a group of 50 of them competing in one of the nation's biggest scholarship competitions? I'm your host, Shimo Liai, and I'm going to take you behind the scenes of the Distinguished Young Women competition. I was Nevada's competitor 20 years ago, but this time, a Supreme Court decision catapults all 50 girls into the center of a nationwide debate about their rights. These girls, who have spent months fighting to make it to nationals, are faced with a tough decision. Do they speak up for their political beliefs, or do they stay focused on winning the money?
I think it's going to get ugly.
Follow the competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of the competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.